Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women. And because of this beer, our earth seed is going to have low motility.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
We're the Drunk Guys, and this week we're reading our Patreon selected poll book winner, contest winning book of the month. Those are words.
Are
the
you
Parable
okay?
of Parable of the Sower by Octavia E. Butler. And Nate, are you starting with beer?
Yeah, I'll start with a beer. In that, I didn't have the chance to go to the store, so I had to use something I'm saving. So how does it relate to the book? No idea. This is the other half 10th anniversary triple IPA. No, double IPA.
I just drank one of those.
Double dry hopped triple IPA. I was right both times.
Did you buy the case of their the thing, the anniversary box? Did you buy that?
No, I went my beer store, had them in four packs, so I got one.
Nice.
This is my last one left.
I literally had one of those before like we started recording, and it was great.
It's good.
This beer relates to the book because it takes place over several years. Years are what make up anniversaries.
That's fair.
I'll take it. I'll allow it.
Okay, so what was our theme this month? It was Black People Books again, Jimmy? Is that what you called it? I think it was called
Black History Month. We want to do Black authors or books about the Black experience. And luckily for us, this was the least Black experience book of the lot, so it will be the least awkward for us to discuss.
We're nailing it. So yeah. Why this book is famous. It's well known as a sci-fi dystopian, well, not dystopian, post-apocalyptic is the word book. And I, for some reason, I thought it was older, but 1993 is actually quite a long time ago now. And yeah. It takes place right now. It's happening right now.
It is.
In the future year, it starts in the futuristic year of 2024.
Where California is burning down.
Oh my God. And it has a lot of these random blurbs from the main character. The fuck is her name? I already forgot it. Lauren.
It only gets said like occasionally.
And she starts a lot of the chapters with little blurbs from her like newer testament that she's writing.
The newest testament.
Yes. Yes. Earth seed, because dirt cum didn't sound good. Earth seed. And you're like, what is that shit? And I thought for a minute, I was like, oh, it's another one of these fucking fantasy books where it just starts with quotes from a fake book. At least in this one, she was currently writing the book. I guess
that's just
different.
The one book.
And yeah, I don't even fucking know how to begin. Jimmy, you picked this. Take it away.
Well, first of all, the fans picked this.
Blame them.
And basically it takes place in a, I guess now, alternative timeline, but back then, a future where, you know, America exists, but it's kind of broken down to kind of just everything's shitty all the time. The climate sucks. Everything's in, like, there's a huge drought most of the time in California, so everything's really dry. Fires are a constant issue, and everyone is so fucking poor they can't afford anything, including water to put the fires out. So it sucks every time. It sucks for everyone all the time. And most people, at least in this area where there's taking place, like a small town outside of LA, they all live in this walled-off neighborhood, and they, you know, have broken-down houses, and they just try and survive as a community and do what they can to get by. And
it's walled off for security.
Yes.
It's not a gated community of rich people, though those still exist.
It is, yeah. I mean, they are, the people who live outside the gates would see them as rich people, because they are desert wanderers, and they're addicted often to weird drugs don't exist that make them come when they see fire. So like setting fires to stuff, and it's all like kind of like the, I would say the Wild West. It's not even the Wild West. It's just, it's more like Mad Max out in the desert world, which is everywhere outside of these communities. And there's just roving bands of people who kill with impunity and steal all your shit.
Well,
so it's best to stay inside.
There's more of that in the second half.
Well, I mean, so, they're out there. They're just, they exist.
They exist.
They're in the community, and everything happening outside is that shit.
But the second half of the book deals with that more. All right. So Lauren is starting the book. She's 16, but she doesn't go to school because things like public services just kind of don't exist and things like that. Things like schools, although her mother does sort of like teach neighborhoods school to the neighborhood kids in like a one room schoolhouse kind of thing. And it really is sort of trying to make it be like, oh, this is sort of like back in the time of slavery, except it's taking place in the futuristic year of 2024. And it's because America has broken down. It's not because they've quite reinstated slavery. Anyway, so she's a kid. She also has this one weird thing where she has hyper empathy syndrome or hyper empathy, something like that, where she, when someone else feels pain, she feels it too, like even like physical pain, to the point where if someone like cuts themselves, she will start to bleed too. So that only happens a little bit. And she says it's all in her head. And it's because her mother took this, you know, some sort of like, was taking drugs when she was pregnant with her. And so that's why she has this. And she says, yeah, no, it's all in my head. But
so is empathy.
Technically, yes. All empathy is just in your head.
And the mother who teaches the schoolhouse is her stepmother, because her mother is gone. We don't know what happened to her. She's probably dead.
I think presumed to be dead. I assume she was. Because the father wouldn't have remarried or whatever she was.
I mean, she might have just wandered off to go live that drug life out on the outside.
And Lauren's father is sort of like the leader of the community. Well, he is. He's the leader of the community because he's also the Baptist preacher. And they're very religious. He's also a college professor, though professor of what? And he still gets paid by the university, even though he only goes there one day a week, because he gets to work remotely, which is kind of amazing because this book was written, you know, in 1993. And she talks about, oh, he does computer classes, something like that. She doesn't obviously use the word Zoom, but, you know, that's basically what he's doing. And she predicted that. Anyway, so he kind of, and he's the leader of the community of, like, getting people to, like, take care of each other and support each other. And also guns. He's like, we need guns to protect ourselves.
Because the police in this world are hours away at best, and are also deeply corrupt and don't give a shit if you actually do call them. So they'll rob you again or just not help you out.
Which is what police in the 19th century actually were. I mean, that's really quite accurate. Yeah.
He's the bad guy in all the Robin Hood movies.
Exactly. Also a funny, well, not funny, but, you know, there's something bad happened to somebody, and then, like, yeah, the house burned down, and so, you know, yeah, and the police collected their fee and then didn't find anything. It's that kind of place.
This sounds like some sort of libertarian paradise where you pay no taxes.
there's no money for them to get taxed.
Though what's funny is that it did mention once or twice that people who owned houses still had to pay taxes. So there was still taxes, but there were just no services that went with it.
That's one of the two certainties, Nate.
There are still like people who are like hyper rich and, you know, are living in their walled off houses with their cadre of security guards, living like the world hasn't effectively ended while everyone else attempts to live. And survive, more like.
So the setting is a little bit more similar to Oryx and Crake by Margaret Atwood than it is to The Road.
Yes.
By Cormac McCarthy.
That's coming, though. They all...
Yeah.
There is a road.
Lauren will be like, yeah, this is going to get worse. It seems to be something she intuits early on. Yeah, the world of The Road is coming.
Though the world they live in right now, even though like they have a community and houses and they live there with their families, it also mostly sucks because everyone's so fucking poor they can barely get by. There's people go to work outside, but sometimes they don't come back. You have to like protect yourself, and you know their neighbor is a 13-year-old girl who had a baby because her uncle raped her, and then you know it's like that kind of world. So it's good times all around.
Would you say?
Probably.
We would. Nate, you probably would too, that this world is no fun. This beer is called No Fun, and it's from Finback, and we've definitely had this before, but they made it again. So I don't know when it was made, but I was there yesterday.
So that's fun.
Yeah.
We had it on How the Grinch Stole Christmas and Go Set a Watchman.
No, yeah, neither of those things were fun. this tastes old.
Much like fun doesn't.
I was there yesterday. It was just very interesting to see how times have changed in the beer world. That they used to be to go to like a brewery like that, and they'd have the beer that came out yesterday, and that maybe like four cans of the one from last week. They had like 20 different beers. Like people just do not buy the same kind of beer anymore. So I was just like, when did they actually make this? I don't know. But it's a very good IPA and a great name for a bleak book.
Very bleak.
But it's no fun. They're also just after like every like 18 words, you'd be like, I don't think she's mentioned sexual assault yet. And she'd be like, oh, also this happened. You're like, oh, there it is. Oh, there it is. There's a tremendous amount of implied and then just directly said sexual violence in this book.
It's like, oh, yeah.
The future is bleak. So in that way, it's a lot like The Road.
It was a very bleak book.
And that is another thing in this book is there are the community has got, it's a multiracial community, but people don't always get along in it, you know, like racially. It doesn't come up as much as any other books in this poll, but it's definitely there.
And at certain points throughout the book, people get like really mad about interracial stuff. Interracial couples are like discouraged, or even though, you know, it's clear Lauren and her father and brothers are black, and then the stepmother's like Mexican, right?
So her step siblings are probably like of a mixed parentage,
right? Oh, that's right. The brothers they're not from the original. She's the only one from the
she's first. Yeah, she's the only original child.
I should have known that. And all the brothers were like Hector and I forget what their names are. Keith and fucking who gives a shit? They didn't matter.
I don't know the other brothers even have names.
They do, but they don't count.
Quaternary characters. Is that the word? Quaternary?
Wasn't that when the dinosaurs lived, the quaternary age? Was that?
Yes. Yeah.
So things just kind of are getting worse and worse, because not only are they living in this compound where everybody is just very poor together, and that's still a vast improvement over this sort of like hordes of homeless people who basically live outside their compound in a lot of places, but things are getting worse. And so when she wrote this in 1993, this was, or you know, she's probably writing it in 91, 92. This is after, you know, all the big, like especially the car companies in Detroit have all left Detroit and left Michigan, and a lot of the industry is starting to move overseas.
Thanks a lot, NAFTA.
And stuff like that. Well, now NAFTA was after this. NAFTA wasn't even a thing yet. And neither was China's...
That came NAFTA.
...specials. And neither was, like, China's status as the world's manufacturer either. This was already happening.
Wait, who am I supposed to blame for this, Nate?
Ooh, I'm sure they'll find someone.
Is it the usual people? Should we blame them?
Yeah, probably.
Was banking involved, Nate?
So anyway, she's writing this at the time when cities were getting really bad, and also, you know, in the '80s, the crack cocaine epidemic of the 1880s, of the 1980s,
the railroads
was very different.
that was the snuff epidemic of the 1880s.
It's Big Daddy Cornelius Vanderbilt.
was also, you know, drugs had also destroyed communities all through LA and many cities at the time.
Was it Rodney King, 93?
I want to say it was 91.
So similar.
But basically, it was in the air.
OJ, still a free man.
Still
known for football.
And Hertz Rentals. No, that was foreshadowing about the Hertz that he would put on some people.
So anyway, back to the book. Lauren like tells a friend, like one of the friends she has in this compound, Joanne. Like, oh, you know, you should learn. Does your family have any books on essentially like doomsday prepping? But she doesn't say it like that. She says how to like farm and how to like
what
you know,
plants to eat,
but how to make a poultice out of out of plants you find.
Do you even know what a tourniquet is?
And her friend, instead of being like, oh, yeah, no, I guess I should learn stuff like how to forage in the forest, she, like, goes and tells her parents, and then her dad has to talk to her about, you know, you're really scaring people when you talk about this doomsday stuff. And she's like, but I'm right. And he goes, yeah, you are, but you're still scaring people. So
he tells her it's better to teach people than to make them afraid, because if you just get them scared, they won't learn shit. But if you, like, trick them, it's much better.
There's a word for that.
So start a religion.
There's, like, a word for this thing. It's like, oh, man, what is it? Where you, like, tell a story to make them learn a parable. That's what it is. Yeah, that's what that was. Oh, I get it.
Unless they're fake, then they're called fables.
Well, that's the thing. If it's a religion people still believe in, it's a parable. If it's one they don't believe in, it's a myth.
Or if Mike Tyson has bad aim, then it's a myth.
Careful. Anyway, so she's like afraid that bad stuff is going to happen. And then, oh, she's right. Her younger brother, is it Keith?
Keith.
Yeah, so her younger brother is like just turning like 13 and he like wants to be a man. He, you know, is he tired of being the baby? And so he's like, but you won't let me go out and shoot guns. And so he runs away and comes back. He leaves the compound and everyone is terrified. And then he comes back. He's like, yeah, they stole all my stuff. He's wearing only his underwear.
Everything else
is gone.
He's been beaten. Yeah, and cut.
And he's been beaten.
Tortured. You know, I was shocked he didn't also get raped. I really thought that was going to like come out in that scene. Because every other time there's a scene of violence, like, oh my God, we found these people. And there's always somebody who was sexually assaulted. He was just jumped by five guys, and they just took all of his clothes and stuff, and the key to the gate to the locked compound they live in. They're like, wow, you really fucked up, Keith. Your dickhead.
Yeah,
move.
But he still refused to be like, say he's sorry. He's like, well, what was I supposed to do against five guys? And it was like, you shouldn't have fucking left in the first place. But he still refused to.
Those five guys' burgers are so good.
And then a couple months later, he leaves again, but this time he's gone for a lot longer and everyone thinks he's dead. But then he comes back and he's got all this money and he literally brings a huge wad of money to his mom. And then he's like, keeps kind of sneaking out and coming back. And he's like, yeah, no, I live with a bunch of people. And why is it they like me? Oh, it's because I'm the one who can read, you know, cause his father's a teacher and stuff like that. And they can't read. So I like set up I was able to read the manuals for all the fancy equipment they stole and learned how to set it up. And also he talks about how he had all this money, but it's because he stole it. He like he found some random old guy who had his life savings on him. Oh, so he killed him. And that's how he had all this money. And then a few months later after that, he's dead too. Keith is dead because he's has like his skin burned away except for his face,
because his eyes burned out and most of his skin is gone. Yeah,
it was clearly a several day long agonizing torturous death. And the police are like, yeah, drug dealers usually do this for people who steal from them or are rivals. And they're like, oh, either one of those explains why he had that money and now he's dead, which is no fun.
Meanwhile, Lauren, she's also in. Okay, the whole book is told as her journal. Like these are her journal entries. Also, she's inventing a new religion. She's like, God is it? So she, you know, the book begins with her saying like, well, I just don't believe in my father's God anymore, but I couldn't tell him, and so she's developing this thing that she calls Earthseed, with phrases like, God is change. And she's like, God, you can't stop God, but you can change it. Which I'm sure there's a lot of religious stuff that I just did not pick up on.
Well, I mean, it's the concept that the universe continues to change and nothing ever stays the way it is. So God is the change itself. So like you can pretend that things will always be a certain way, but all things change forever throughout all of time and they will continue to change. So the change itself is what God is. And you got to prepare for that and learn to accept that and understand that. You can't just live in these walled off communities thinking everything's going to be okay if we just stay put and make sure nothing ever changes, because everything changes.
And she says, you can't stop God, but you can shape it, meaning that you can do stuff to make the future better or worse, and you can kind of do your best, but...
You can prepare.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of
it. It's been a long time coming, but...
But a change is probably...
I think it's good. Maybe? It will happen, they say.
It's edging. Probably going to come. It's like a beginner edger.
It's probably going to come. 3 minutes. So then these big companies roll into town. They're like, we've got jobs for everybody. If you just come work at our company for room and board, we'll keep you safe.
I know Tennessee Ernie Ford. I'm not falling for this shit. And they're like, that's better than being eaten by the desert drug people.
Yeah, that will provide you with a safe place to live as long as you work for us.
They've reinvented indentured servitude.
Pretty much. Except it's not temporary.
It's not quite slavery either.
Not quite.
Technically. Well, actually, you know, it's not technically slavery, but it's basically...
It's a sparkling white indentured servitude.
Yeah, yeah.
But people are taking them up on the offer because, you know, they're barely making it through life as it is, and many of them are being killed or, you know, rape, murdered, set on fire. Life is an abysmal hell, so people leave.
There are so many just random, not even scenes, just like, oh... And then those people got killed, and then somebody broke into that old woman's house, and they raped and robbed her, and she died. And they don't, you know, all these things. So like,
oh, no, and then she killed herself.
Oh, that was, yeah, that later. Early one, yeah. Mm-hmm. So all these people are like, you know what? I will take the guaranteed low bar of life versus, you know.
This.
You know, rolling these dice.
But still, you can only take their word for it, so...
Of course.
It's not even a guaranteed low bar. It's just, hey, this is bad.
Yeah, I'll go work for the Amistad Corporation. How bad could it be? But then, things really go to shit when...
Well, the dad disappears, right?
Well, the dad disappears on his commute one day, as dads are wont to do.
He went out for cigarettes.
And they mentioned before early in the book, it was like, you know, something happens to me, it's okay, I've got insurance. But the insurance company, of course, won't pay out because there's no body. So he can't be dead, probably. You got to wait 7 years because that's what insurance companies do. And right, so they're just
calm
like,
down, Mangione. Relax, sick.
They have one job, which is to pay for stuff when things happen. They're like, what if we didn't?
Are you sure you need it now? You didn't really mean all the monies.
But so he disappears, and then not long after that, the fucking neighborhood just gets basically invaded and burnt down, and people disappear, people die. Most of Lauren's family vanishes or is dead. She kills a guy that's about to kill her, and she passes out for a little while because, you know, she felt the guy die in her own body, which is probably confusing. And then she's like, hey, people that are still here. She finds one of their neighbors is a guy who had multiple wives, meaning he had one wife, and then he just started taking in young homeless women and making them his new wives. And one of them is still alive. So she joins up, and so does their white neighbor, who's like, I'm white, we'll be fine. And they're like, we gotta head somewhere and just try and figure out what the fuck we're gonna do, because everything's gone.
Was that a show on UPN, Their White Neighbor? Was that a...
I think there's a show right now called Neighbors about a black family with white neighbors.
Is it with Cedric the Entertainer, though?
Yeah, and the guy from New Girl.
Yeah. It's just... My fucking in-laws watch that show. It is so bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad. Speaking of bad, though, the things I'm probably going to have to say in a minute. This is voted on by our Patreon, our patrons. So thank you, patrons, for supporting our podcast and giving us money so we can live in a walled-in community when the world ends. And picking the books that we give you the illusion of choice for. If you want to support the podcast, that is the best way to do so. You could also help us out by leaving a review or just telling someone to listen to it and then holding a gun to their head till they do. Just like it. Like and subscribe.
Smash that like.
Yeah, make love to it. But the main thing that we can do for the patrons is thank them. I mean, it's only polite. So we should thank them by name. And it's my turn to do that. So let me thank in no particular order. Avery, the back... Black, oh Jesus Christ, African American Rabbit of Inlay, Carol, Catherine, Colton, Daniel, you know who that is. The new one? Awesome. Derek, the Dogfish Head Propaganda Bungler, Emotional Support Burrito, Ev, Kale, newly married to Seth, Hartley, is that a real name? I'm trying to forget if I'm saying that right. Hartley, Hayden, Josh, this might be a different person. My diet is working. Jesus. My diet is working. Only need to lose a few more pounds before my 600-pound life will let me on. suck my fat cock. Linda Meep, Mr. Slosh, Nate's Only Pause account. This is another human name. If this podcast doesn't take off soon, I don't think it's going to. I'll have to move on to Plan B, suing Hasbro for using my likeness for Hungry, Hungry Hippos. Oh, no. I think that's the only thing I have left now. Because shit. Okay. That was a person's name. That must have been very awkward on the first day of school.
It's hard to fill out on forms. Doesn't fit on a Delaney card.
Fuck that juicy pussy. Rack the jipper. What? The guy just like gets shitty tips. Seth and Gail back in the mix. Steven, tease me a little before you jam it in, Jimmy. Please, yeah.
No.
Thick Richard III, tease me a little bit more. Ween, William, and Zaphod Beeblebrox. Thank you so much, patrons, for supporting this podcast and helping us continue to do this, whatever this is. If you want to join that esteemed group, just go to patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub and become a buy us a beer member. And I will say, or Nate or Jimmy will say, just about anything. Yeah. Or wait till the apocalypse comes in 2025, according to this book, where we'll do way more for shelter.
For much less. For less than $5.
But back to the book.
So the first half of the book is Lauren living, is sort of like Lauren like living in this like gated community, gated compound for security. But then... but in the second half, everybody's dead. Like, the only two people she knows in the world now are these two other people that she lived with. And the girl is like, I saw your family. They're dead. And because Lauren goes back and she, like, finds the burnt out husk of her house and is able to, like, save a couple of things, including finding some of the money that was buried in the backyard. So she has a little bit. And they...
And a gun.
Yeah, and she has a gun. Also, the gun she has, because she took it off of a dead guy, off of one of her neighbors, like one of her neighbors who was lying dead on the ground. She picked it up. and that's why she has a gun. So her, like, two neighbors that survive, they decide, well, we're just going to walk north. Why north? Well, it's because it's the slavery thing. It's like they're it's not the Underground Railroad, but, you know, it was all the slaves' dream to go north to Canada. And she's like, I guess we'll go to Canada.
Yeah. I mean, they're also in L.A., so there isn't much south to go to.
No.
There's, like, legends that things are better in Oregon and Washington, where, like, it's not just a desert drought all the time. But who knows if that's true.
But this was 1992, and they were like, there is grunge there. Should we go to Seattle? Never mind.
We also didn't mention, well, the first half of the book takes place over several years, and the second half is like 1 or 2 years. But at the beginning of the book, there's a presidential election, and they've just elected a new guy who's going to solve everything. And this book was popular in 2016 for reasons, because they said, oh, there's a lot of similarities. But honestly, the president thing doesn't play into the book that much at all, except occasional updates of like, no, things aren't really working out.
Though the funny thing is the new president is elected to, you know, cut all these wasteful programs.
Yes.
But the wasteful program he wants to cut is their Mars colony. So like that
now
was,
you don't know who
not,
to root for.
Not prescient. It's the one program they're not going to cut.
Let that sink in. See, hoisted his sink into Twitter headquarters. They, I was reading this like, oh man, this is going to be, that's all good. It actually kind of didn't matter.
It really doesn't affect anything, which is maybe perhaps the point is that they're not going to be able to fix anything.
Well, I think at one point, when the election is happening, her dad's like, I didn't vote for anybody. They all suck.
Also, her dad is a climate change denier, even though the climate has already changed.
The plot thickens.
Well, he's a fucking Baptist preacher, so he's, God made the world and man does not have the power to alter his creation.
I mean, isn't that what
Jews do?
With some of the space lasers. I mean, come on, what are you supposed to do with those? How do you stop a space laser? They only turn them off on Saturdays.
Has he thought about drinking more raw milk? Just
listen. Don't knock on RFK. That fucking worm ate its way all the way to the top. And now it is piloting that man into the cabinet.
Don't forget, that worm was eating his brain, and then it died of malnutrition. What does that say?
There's not enough red dye 30 in this brain for me. I need more microplastics.
I'm just thinking of that weird little tiny alien in the guy's head in Men in Black. It's basically like that, right?
Absolutely. That's RFK Jr.
It's more of that than like a Krang situation.
Oh, yeah. For sure. It's wearing a meat suit.
Just, you know, scientifically, it's... You know. Anyway, yeah, she gets a gun and some money, and she finds her two neighbors. Meanwhile, you know, her neighbor Zara, the formerly homeless, now multi-wife of the guy who saw her child being murdered before she was then attacked and raped, at which point the other neighbor, Harry, saved her mid-rape attack. So they're off to a great start in this new life. And they're like, let's get on the road and head up north. Get the fuck out of here. Because there's nothing left. The whole neighborhood burned down. Everything's being looted.
So the second half, they are just walking north along the road. And avoiding the bands, avoiding getting murdered and attacked and stuff like that.
Lauren is pretending to be a dude because two guys and a girl is safer than two girls and a guy for, you know, roving bands of attackers.
What if it was two girls and one cup, though, Jimmy?
They would not do well.
No, no, you can't poop no back one does well when it's two girls and one cup.
So they're walking north. And a bunch of things happened, but yet it was also kind of just the same thing over and over again. Which is they like walk for a couple of days, then they get attacked by somebody. Then they walk for a couple of days, and they get attacked by somebody again. And
they slowly start accumulating people as well.
Yeah. And apostles, even though Lauren's
maybe?
Only...
Disciples, perhaps?
Yeah. Even though Lauren's only 18 at this point, she's clearly the wise one. She's clearly the leader of this group.
Well, Jesus was 33 and 8 what is 18 is half of 33, as we all know. So
maybe.
So, and they're like, they gradually accumulate people. First is some, was there some teenage girls? And
the first
then,
one is this, the couple with the baby.
Oh yeah, right.
Because they save the baby from getting eaten by dingoes. Like literally though. I guess a dingo is just an Australian coyote, right?
No, they're actually feral dogs.
Oh yeah, because all dogs are, well, there's a lot of feral dogs in this.
Yeah, there are various scenes where there is a pack of dogs eating a person. And the rest of them like, those dogs are too big.
There's also one scene of a group of children eating a person. So a group of, one of the children is pregnant too, so. And they're eating a human leg.
Women, pregnant women have crazy cravings. It's they are wild.
I can't believe you couldn't get any pickles. This leg is going to taste terrible.
My wife, when she was pregnant with our second kid, was like out eating. She was into like ice. She just wanted to eat ice cubes. And she was like, I don't know why, but I need them. The fucking ice maker could not keep up.
Jesus.
And then she went to our doctor, our GP, and like, you know, just for a checkup after the baby was born. She was like, yeah, it's fucking just eating these ice cubes. And he was like, yeah, that's Pico. That's what that is. There's a name for that.
Oh, Pico. Yeah. That's thing you put on tacos.
So I was like, yeah, it's really nice. At, carnitas.
There's a little bit too, Pico's a little too spicy for white people, so we just use crushed up ice.
But there was
nice
a point,
wet taco.
There's a point when it was the summertime and I was mixing up like this, like it looked like the blue meth from Breaking Bad of Miracle-Gro shit to like spray into the fucking yard. And my wife was like, that smells really delicious. It's like, I know I'm not supposed to eat that, but that smells
that's
like
not good.
Fucking good. That blue shit. I want to eat that blue shit right now.
I mean, I don't remember that smell being much at all. Not even like bad, but like.
But she was smelling for two. Smell. She was like, like both nostrils are flaring. Like, that blue shit looks yummy.
Mama likey.
It's like, no, my boy.
Just a Hawaiian punch.
Yeah, so she's like, you guys gonna finish that dead guy?
But yeah, there's a lot of, you know, scenes of the worst shit in the world. And eventually there's this huge earthquake. And they're like, oh, that sucks. Good thing we live in California. That happens all the time. But then they happen upon a city that they don't know. It's like either the earthquake destroyed it or the earthquake started a fire and that drew in all the crazies who, you know, get aroused by fire and then started to burn down more stuff. Kind of like, hey, let's all go burn down this city. And that's where they save two girls, Jill and Allie, who were forced into prostitution by their father. So, you know, always fun on the road, you know, and then they keep journeying.
Well, they meet the old guy.
Oh, Ben Cole.
Ben Cole. I was thinking of like a Ricola name the whole time.
he's got a cart. I don't know if he's like selling things or if he's just got a cart full of stuff. I don't really remember.
Isn't he a doctor like, of sorts?
He is actually a doctor, like straight up like a regular doctor. But he also is like, oh, your name is Ben Cole. And Lauren's last name is Olamina. And he's like, oh, it's a Yoruba name. He's like, yeah, my dad went through that thing where they changed their name to African names and back in the 70s or whatever. And it's like, he did that. I was like, oh, me too. And so I was like, oh, but we chose names from the same tribe. I guess it's a tribe, but Yoruba is a tribe, which is in Nigeria, I think, right?
No clue.
It's one of the big ones, Yoruba. And they're like, oh, we've chosen the same names. We better like start banging, even though he's 57 and she's 18.
Nigeria.
And he's horrified for a second. But not that long.
No, he's just like, hey, this is about to happen to me. Nigeria, I don't know how to say this one. Benin? Benin? I've been in that.
I think it's Benin.
And to go, you know, when you don't want it to stay.
Yeah.
So those are all places where the Yoruba people live.
Yeah, and then they find another kid. And so there's like 9 or 10 of them at this point. They're just like wandering. It's like, we got to like have a plan. What the fuck are we going to do?
Was it 12? I wasn't keeping track.
I think it's like 9. There are 9 other people in Lauren, or 9 including Lauren. Because it's her two neighbors, the parents and the kid, Jill and Allie, and the new kid. So 9 total. In Bankole, 10.
And one of them, so then they get attacked and one of them dies, and then...
Jill or Allie, I can't remember which one. Oh, Jill. Jill dies.
And there's like a big like gun battle, and Lauren kills more than one, and but she also gets shot, and then when she wakes up, they're like, how many times did you die? And she's like, at least three, if not four. But she was also shot. But she still, but they can't just like sit around and just like wait for everybody to get better. They have to keep walking. Then there's a big fire, like where, you know, it's like a, basically a forest fire. So, you know, it's like they're back in LA again. And then they go, and then they have to like run away from the fire, which takes a while. But then Bankole is like, I own a bunch of land a bit north of here. I've been walking from San Diego so I could get to it because I could have left years ago, but I didn't. So now I just have to walk. And like my sister lives there with her husband, and that's where I'm going. You should come with me. And she's like, okay, I'll start Earthseed there. And so that's kind of where the whole band, the whole group.
We got to go back and count. It's got to be 12. There's fucking no way it's not 12 people.
They get another group of people who used to be slaves. Like, straight up, they were slaves. And they escaped. So, they add a few more on. But then when you lose Jill, I don't know. Yeah. But it's close to 12.
It's like a baker's dozen. Something.
Yeah. It's a candlemaker's dozen.
I think that'd be really funny if there was like a miser's dozen and it's 11.
So then they get there. They finally, like, after walking, you know, they've been walking now for months. And when they finally get there, most of them alive, they find just two burnt out buildings. And Bankole, they find five skeletons in the fire. And so, you know, and he goes to town, and they're like, and the police are like, yeah, sure, we'll investigate that, and we'll just relieve you of all the money you have on you
as a fee,
but then they don't actually do it. But then eventually they hold a funeral, and then Lauren is like, we're going to start Earthseed here. How about everybody, we stay here, we start farming, and we make a go of it. This can't be a worse idea than just walking more, because we don't even know what we'll find. And at first people are skeptical, but then they're like, yeah, okay, let's do this. And so they do. And that's basically the end.
And then a little bit of Jesus in there at the end, in case you missed it. You just got to throw the parable in there at the end, right?
Mm. Yeah, the actual parable of the sower is like, I looked up parable of the sower, and found that the thing is like, well, the actual parable of the sower is like, man is God, and the seed is his message. So you plant the message and it grows.
And in some places it's not going to be a good place to grow it. In some places it's not going to work. But you got to plant it all over the goddamn place and see what happens.
Yeah, let it take root.
Like, you know, you planted it in a rocky place and it didn't fucking grow because there was no soil, or you planted it here and it sprung up, but it burnt from the sun. But, you know, in some places it works. You know, you gotta keep trying.
And they plant a bunch of oak trees in remembrance of all their dead, which I'm sure is, you know, symbolic for like this. These trees take decades to grow, so it's like we're gonna be here for a long time, so we can eat these nuts one day.
That was the message of the book, actually.
Yep,
they're just waiting for these nuts.
That was the last line. The whole book was just the setup for a these nuts joke.
Yeah, they're like, we're gonna plant, you know, squash and beans, and one day, these nuts.
The brother to the three sisters. That's why the sequel book was about when once they get done with the nuts jokes. The parable of the grower. It's about an erection. a lot there, but also not. What do you guys think of this book? Jimmy, you read it twice now.
Yeah. So I knew it was going to happen this time.
Oh, nothing? Okay.
Yeah. I liked it. It is not, I mean, there's a lot of things like are happening in it, but it's not like action-packed in the way you'd expect it to be when you describe, like, there's a kid eating a leg and everybody's constantly getting murdered, but it's like, it's pretty like placid and like slow.
Well, the first half is just she's living in the compound, and over the course of a couple of years, things just keep getting a little bit worse, but it's kind of the same thing over and over again. And then finally, they get invaded and attacked and burnt out, and almost everybody dies. And then they're on the road, and then it's kind of the same thing and happening over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So the plot itself is very simple.
Much like the Bible.
There's a lot more in there about like Earthseed itself and like her beliefs or what she's like trying to figure out what the message is. And honestly, I didn't really care too much about that, because why would I? But it was like, yeah, even Bancola is like, everything you're saying is like kind of a mix of a bunch of that already came before. Like, yeah, but it's a little different this time. It's like, yep, that's how they generally work, the religious shit. But yeah, you know, it's a saga. I mean, I've never read the second one. I don't know what it's about at all. But yeah, this one, I did like it. I didn't read it in 2016, like when everybody was like, oh, this is just like The President Here. And I read it like last year. I was like, oh, I don't get that at all. I mean, whatever. It's just, he's kind of a shitty president. Like, okay, but it's not that crazy. I mean, honestly, now the LA fires being a thing, it's way more prescient now. But I liked it. I did not think it was a, you know, seminal masterpiece that some people do. But I think it's an interesting
read. I did highlight the one part where I was like, oh, this is about Republicans, maybe. When it says Donner is the president. He had a plan for putting people back to work by eating them. No, it's a different Donner. And he hopes to get laws changed, suspend, quote, overly restrictive minimum wage, environmental, and worker protection laws for those employers, blah, blah, blah. That's just, anybody who's like, that's Trump. That's any Republican. Those are not.
And some Democrats.
Yeah, that's Reagan. That's actually who she was talking about. That was Reagan.
That's not a... Oh, this is the problem when people get their book analysis from TikTok. Like, so.
It's people who didn't actually read the book. They just read these little snippets on the internet and then say, this book is just like it, but they didn't read it. Like, people who claim that this is just like 1984 without having read 1984.
Yeah. So, I mean, as I was like, I assumed reading the book, like, okay, it's a black female writer who was older in the early 90s. She's going to be harsh on the conservatives. But she really wasn't. She really didn't come out that strong.
It wasn't necessarily like that political a book at all.
It was more about human nature.
Things have gone to
like
shit.
How shitty people are.
It was about shitty people, but it was, I think, more than political. It was about like how shitty people in power in general are. Because like the people, like at one point when the earthquake happens, they hear on, they stole a radio from one of the guys they kill. And like they hear on the radio news that San Francisco and the Bay have basically become like Thunderdome. Like the city was wrecked by the earthquake and now it's just a looting shithole crazy place. So like, we better walk around that. But it's like, oh, the poor are there and they're just left to rot and be eaten by cannibals. But the rich people are taking their helicopters out of the city to their compounds in wherever the fuck. It's like, okay, so, you know, people still have more than enough, more than they could ever need. And they're letting two blocks away go into cannibalism because that's the way the world works. It's not necessarily a political thing. It's a wealth inequality thing, I think, more so than right versus left.
I think that's just a human nature thing. Like, people, like, you know, what
you watch out for your own.
Yeah, you take it. I can't let that stranger in. What will they do? And then you see throughout the book, the strangers are fucking horrible to each other. Like, it's just.
I mean, like, they live in a gated community, of course. So, like, the outside people are trying to get in and kill them. But then they also meet people along the road that become their new families. Because everyone, you need each other to survive. Is like, you know, this is like kind of like the stereotype of like the right wing prepper who's like, I've got a compound. I got a base full of like 97 cans of beans, and I got a shotgun, and I'm going to survive off the land. And it turns out like you can't survive on your own because you don't know how to do enough stuff. Like you need other people to really do anything more than subsist.
Oh yeah.
Like you just, individuals can't do that. So like you need other people to really survive and to build anything looking forward. Otherwise you're just letting it all die slowly.
I don't know what the fuck book it was. Maybe a Jordan Peterson book. Might have been the Lobster book.
It was Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Where Nate said, I think it was the Lobster chapter we were talking about this, where Nate said the thing about humans is it's about, because he was going on and about
cooperation.
About cooperation, right? You said that there.
Mm-hmm,
and that's what's kind of here too.
Yeah, cooperation versus competition.
The book reminded me, or more like, and I knew this, of course, but like, wow, if society totally breaks down, I am so fucked. I am not ready.
Literally.
I am not prepared. Yeah, that's for sure. But
they're going to be giving it away out there.
I am like not prepared. I'm not even prepared.
Nate's just the parable of the blower.
Those dogs are going to be feral for another reason.
Anyway, it reminded me that even in the event of like a natural disaster, I am not prepared.
Almost no
like,
one is.
I mean, when's the last time you lost power living in New York?
I was like, well, I guess I hope my phone battery lasts until the power comes back on is all everyone does.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, even if that happens, I don't even have like candles. I'm like completely unprepared if anything adverse happens at all. I'm hoping, you know, my one experience was like in 2020, the week when everything was starting to shut down and I like go to the grocery store and the line is like out the door and it's like, and I was like, whoa, this is concerning, but I still made it through the line and I still got my food and so it was fine. But
wait, what was it? 2012 or 2013 when Sandy happened, like my house lost power for a week. Like parts of New York were underwater for a week. Like people didn't know what the fuck they were supposed to do.
Yeah. I mean, for harvest is underwater. I mean, that's really bad, but
yeah,
if you just don't have power, it's annoying, but you're not going to die.
No.
I mean, if your hospital runs out of power, then you're in trouble. But other than that,
it's like also like it's a city versus not city people thing. Like, you know, the stereotype, like city people don't know how to do anything when like shit hits a fan, but like maybe small town folks do a little bit better, but like long term, you're both fucked unless you like work together. You can't just no man is an island. Some people are.
Me, the fat guy. But I
he floats. It's because
I'm buoyant. I'd like to watch those people that don't know about technology. Let's see them play Minesweeper. Huh? I can see how they do. Huh? I mean, it's all true. I just saw this clip of the fuck is Nate Bargatze? Is that his name? I fucking don't even know how to say it. Comedian, stand up comedian, very funny. He's been, you'd recognize him. And he had this bit saying, if I went back in time, I wouldn't be able to change anything. Like, I'd go up to a guy who's at like a phone on a wall and be like, you know, in the future, they have those that just like go in your pocket. And he'd be like, really? How? I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't even know how that, I don't know, satellites or something. And he'd be like, what's a satellite? I'm like, oh, shit, I should have thought about that before I said it. Oh, man, I don't know how that works either. Like, he's like, I don't know if I could even prove I was from the future. Like, we're all, like, because we live in an incredibly specialized world. So even the people who work in some, pick your technological field, they only know one sliver of it. It's not like the Renaissance where you could know everything there was about chemistry because it was fucking three equations. Like
you could know all the math. You could know all the math that's ever been invented. One person.
Even back then, like you could know everything about carpentry, but you didn't know fuck all about farming. And you could know everything about farming, but not know fucking anything about, you know, how to cut off a leg when you get a tiny cut. It's like, you know, the problem is, you know, more specialized now, but even back then, like people lived in towns because you needed more than one person to know how to do shit. And you can't run a farm by yourself. It's like, timing-wise, it's impossible.
That's why, guys, when we form our doomsday prepper community, we just got to vet people a little more carefully. That's really what it's about.
Nate, you're definitely going to need a vet there to take care of the dogs.
I wasn't even trying to set that up, but I'm glad it happened.
It was too easy. I couldn't let that one go.
That's what Nate said about the dogs.
Yeah, I said that one.
That's also what Nate said about the dogs. Okay.
So having read this, it's a book everyone knows. Not many people probably have actually read it, but I don't know if it holds up to like the glamour of its reputation. It's pretty good. Do you think other people should read it?
So can I just say, I thought it was kind of fucking boring. Can I say that? Is that fair?
It drags, certainly, at times.
And I found myself wondering throughout it, am I missing the point or is she fucking jackhammering the point? I don't know.
Jackhammering.
I think it was. So what made me upset is that she's dead. She's fucking dead. And she planned to write a bunch of sequels. So I feel like
really?
This book...
When did she die?
2006 or something like that.
Oh, that okay, a while back.
She wrote a sequel, The Parable of the Talents, which is the opposite of The Parable of the Growers. And she planned on writing a bunch more in this world. So I feel like this book was really just prologue to a much bigger thing. Because she sets up all this other shit about...
It sets up the whole religion to be, I guess.
The religion, they're meant to be. There's even like a little thing in here about exoplanets, essentially, that they want to, there's planets in a couple light years away that might be life-bearing. And I think that was something she was going to try to get to. You know, trying to build this huge saga, and she never got to it. She wrote the second book, she started writing the third book, and then she kind of like hit a wall, and then never made it farther, and she died a few years later. That makes me really mad. Because it would be a punishment book for me, honestly, to read the next book. Because I'm sure it just makes more world, and there's no solution to anything.
And this is the Winds of Winter for you?
It's just...
Is that the new one, Nate? I don't remember what it's even called.
Terrible.
The Winds of Winter, yeah.
Yeah.
So, this book, I think, was really just a prologue to a much bigger thing.
It could have been a prologue to one of perhaps an incredible series that we'll never get now.
Apparently her papers are in some academic library somewhere, and some university has them. And you could read her sketches, and maybe at some point somebody will pick them up and try to, piece it together and put their own shit in there and, go on. But
someone will get Brandon Sanderson to come
for
her.
The voice we need.
We need a white Mormon guy to finish this
series. Exactly. He's the obvious choice. Though, what's funny is when Brandon Sanderson was picked up to finish The Wheel of Time, the other person that his wife, also the editor, was thinking about was George R.R. Martin to finish it. But she was like, "Now he'll never finish his own stuff if he does that."
Little did she know. Never finished.
He wouldn't finish it anyway.
You know. Never finished my own stuff.
He's only written two other books since then.
And that's why I don't want to read those books either.
No, maybe he's only written one. No, I think he's only written one.
It's been like 15 years since a Game of Thrones book came out.
It was either 2010 or 2011. So yeah, it's almost 15 years. It's either 15 almost or almost
the same
15.
Time as the last Octavia Butler book. So should people read it?
If you like post-apocalyptic stuff, then yeah. It certainly doesn't pull any punches when it comes to the post-apocalypse stuff.
Well, it's hard to pull punches when it's so heavy-handed with the Christian allegory, because the punches just plummet to the ground at 9.8 meters per second squared.
I don't know if it is a Christian allegory, because she's always saying, like, Christianity had it wrong. I mean, like, it has a lot of religious symbolism that we can figure out as people that grew up in that world, where it's like, I get all the stories they're pulling from, but I don't think it's necessarily saying that Christianity is the right thing.
It's called, I mean, not saying it's saying that, but it's called the parable of the sower.
Oh, I know. I'm saying like the religious symbolism is heavy, and it's Christian symbolism that we pick up on. I mean, I don't know. I guess I when I hear Christian allegory, I assume that the message of a Christian allegory is like Christianity is the way.
But and I don't mean it like a it's like a mystery play from the 1400s. Like
a, what the fuck is that?
It's a thing. But
I know. I'm saying, what the fuck is that? I have no idea what that is.
But it's just, it's you know it from like page two. You're like, okay, I see what's about to happen here. I just don't know how the pieces are going to fit together. And then they do. And you're like, yeah, that's pretty much what I guessed.
Yeah.
And the fact that it doesn't really go... I just feel like there
was... It's setting up something that never happened. It was the alley and not a lot of oop.
Well, this was just the first of many. This was just the ah. And then the next book was the ooh. And then she was fucking oops. She died.
Yeah.
That's what happened. So I'm glad I read it because it was on... I knew this title for many years.
It's on everyone's, you know, books you should read before you die because Octavia Butler's already dead list.
I just wish there were more books on the books you should write before you die list that she had.
I'm sure the list existed.
I just wish she got to it. But it's fine. I just find it, for me, the spectrum-y completionist, really frustrating. And
that would be, yeah, that'd be infuriating.
It's like, oh, the fuck. I want to read the next one because I hate leaving a series incomplete. And I know that it's so mad. But it's fine. It's boring. I found it boring.
It's a little slow, but it's also a quick read.
All right, tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Follow us on the... go to patreon.com. We should put that up front. patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub and support the podcast there.
And all the socials and Goodreads. And we just got our third Michelin star, so please check us out.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.